Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we're going to cut this short. I apologize, family. I messed up the daggone runtime for the show, so I had to adjust that very, 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 very quickly. Good morning, everybody. Obviously, it's not that good of a morning start here, but it happens. Anyhow, we're going to do continuous coverage on the election. A lot of things have changed. As you know, the House swung back to Republican control, while the Senate has remained Democratic as of now. Actually, there's one extra Democratic vote right now, and the special election, which is coming up in a few short weeks, is still pending in the air down in Georgia. Herschel Walker is still running against incumbent Senator Warnock, so we'll see how that turns out. Herschel Walker is still proving to be a pawn in the game, and not even the strongest pawn at all. If you've watched any of his speeches, if you've watched any of his rallies, if you've been to any of his rallies and witness any of his speeches, let's just say coherence is not his strongest suit whatsoever, but he's a body. He's there. He has a microphone and he's speaking. I don't know how much of it is his actual truth, but it's coming out of his mouth at the moment, so let's take it for that face value and move on from there. As we look around the country, there were some key races that were maintained by the Dems, that state houses were up for grabs, and state leadership, that's the gubernatorial races, and they went Democratic. And here in the state of Maryland, there was talk about our governor-elect even moving on to the next level. You know, this cat hasn't even taken office yet. I think that's a little premature. I really do. But we'll see. I mean, you never know. You may have the next thing as far as magic in the bottle in this cat. And we'll see. You know, he has a four-year term here in the state of Maryland, and we'll see what he can do with that. And if 2024 or 2028 is his time to shine and move on, then so be it for him. And, you know, that could only do good things. Well, hopefully that would do good things for the state of Maryland, and we'll see about that. There was some tragedy that struck this week in the form of the shootings at the University of Virginia by a former football player, and the stabbings at the University of Idaho University. I don't know how you actually say that one, but University of Idaho, whatever. And what has gotten the most press is the shootings at the University of Virginia. What has been forgotten are the stabbings at Idaho. And, you know, this happened on the same day. And it's sort of, in my head, playing out like the situation between Brett Favre and, well, it didn't happen the same day, but the fact that high-profile athletes, quarterbacks, NFL, got into trouble. Mike Vick, that story went on forever. Brett Favre, maybe 3 days in the cycle. And that's it. There has been no other mention about Brett Favre and him stealing that money from the poor people of Mississippi. And it's a lot of damn poor people in Mississippi. And there's been very little mention of Brett Favre and his shenanigans. And that's reckless. That is absolutely reckless. You know, not to be disrespectful or downplay those who have what they call fur babies, but it's an animal. We're talking about human beings whom are really struggling, and a human being whom made a boatload of money throwing the football, who chose to dip his finger in their pot and take some of their money too. I can't even equate that. I can't. It is hard for me to even consider how that there's some equivalency there. It's hard for me to even consider how one could feel or think or believe that this was okay and that wasn't okay. I don't get it. Well, this is more okay than that. I don't get it. You know, we're talking about people, our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our coworkers, maybe the folks that sit next to us in the pew every day that, you know, their 10%, maybe a dollar, because that's really all they have in their pocket, you know, but they are still amongst us trying to put on the best of faces and the strongest of foot. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you do that? How do you not call this man out? How do you not blast this man and his cohorts or co-conspirators in this situation? The governor of Mississippi. How do you not do that? How is this allowed? I'm pissed because Mike Pence now is out here promoting his book. And on his promotional tour, he gave an interview and he spoke on January 6th because obviously he was asked the question. It was a softball question. It was a softball question. Softball. You have this man on camera for the first time. I don't give a damn about the book. First question out of my mouth was, how did you feel when you were targeted by that mob during the January 6th insurrection? First question out of my mouth. First question, set the tone right now. Then you flip it. Did you put that into the book? That's the relevancy to your book. How did you feel when folks who voted for you were chanting your name saying, kill Mike Pence? How did you feel about that? What do you think about that now? Do you still support the former president and his platform? Those are the questions. Those are the questions that you ask.
And the answer is going to be yes, brother.
Morning, sister. It's but all be, the rest of that is the question.
Well, he has to. You don't get to break alliances with the bad apple when you're rolling with the apple bunch. You just surround that apple, you laugh at the apple, you sometimes ostracize and isolate, but you don't get to say it's not an apple. You don't get to denounce that it's the smelliest of the apples in the bunch. You don't get to denounce that it's the one leaching its juices out, making the other apples wet, and putting little pieces of fungus on them. You understand? You don't get to deny it. Mm. All you get to do is, what do they call that, harm reduction? What do they call that? I think it's called harm reduction. When you know something about to go down, right, and you just have to devise a plan to minimize risk and harm, right, and damage. Mm-hmm. That's it. If they not on harm reduction status, then they're definitely in denial. Mike Pence having anything to say, other than why wouldn't I then be like, if you know you had a Batman and Robin situation, and Batman got in trouble, then you start looking to Robin, right? No, they just said,
right,
fuck you, Robin, kill Robin, kill Robin. I mean, it became apparently there was no alliance. But you don't get to say that. Robin don't get to denounce Batman. I don't care who Batman kills. Okay? Mm. So, you know what his answer is going to be. I don't accept that event as an insurrection. That's their first statement. They never allow us to define it the way it went down. You have to put that good old GOP spin on it. It was not an insurrection. It was a day where the government got to reckon with the people. They had to realize that there are people in this nation, not real people is what they call them. You know, that's what white patriots are. They're real people.
Mm-hmm.
There are real people in this country who are unhappy, and they better wake up and figure it out, because when those real people start opting out of things like home ownership, they opt out of buying that new car, they go ahead on and let that old car stay. See, this country depends on those real people to buy a new portico for their daughters, you know, whatever. They have to do it. If they don't sign the loan, if they don't, then this country, we don't have enough us lower 75 poor people. They've made sure over time that even our collective money doesn't work as well as their stacks of money, you know. Our collective money can't start a project as quickly as a stack of money can, right? So, yeah, you should shut up. You shut up and say, no, this was not an insurrection. It's unfortunate, which is what he said. It's unfortunate that my relationship with Trump is not what it was when we started. But there's always time, you know, because he's a Christian. God willing, and the creek don't rise. There's always time for us to forge a new, holier, more peaceful, God-like union. You know what I'm saying? This is all you gonna get Christian rhetoric out of a pond like that. What you want Robin to say, Lee?
I would like him to say that, you know, while I stand firm in my Republican beliefs and the historical stance and platform of the party, this new iteration is moving in a manner that I fear could be dangerous to the strength of our nation. And I, for one, would like to have a conversation with the folks at the helm of this new movement to see if we can get a more centered approach. That's what I would like for him to say. Something to that effect. Because
you
want to
bargain with a narcissist?
No, I don't want to bargain with a narcissist. Not at all. I didn't ask to bargain with him at all. I said he should take that stance and bargain with those crazy mofos. And I call them crazy because that's what I saw. That was crazy to me. You're going to ransack and
I've been wanting to storm the Capitol. That ain't crazy.
Yeah, you've been wanting to, but actually doing it is the difference. Look, that's the crazy part. The crazy part ain't about wanting to.
You go somewhere in a corner and you boo-boo right in your hand and rub it on the wall. I want to know what part of the insurrection was the boo-boo walls. Why was y'all boo-booing on people's stuff? Why was y'all vomiting and boo-booing and pissing on people's stuff? What part of the...
Right.
I actually, you know,
what part of the game was that?
Okay, as a poor black person sitting here ticking their watch with their reparations, you know, historical memory from what had happened was, and a really bad feeling about what's going to go down in the future, right? I'm sitting, I want to storm the Capitol. I want to storm that shit this weekend. In fact, I feel like we should storm that bitch and just keep squatting on there, like, just keep it. Quit squatting, homeless people, quit squatting anywhere but 1600 Pennsylvania. Only squat there until they figure it out. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind. The problem is,
and then come in droves. Just allow one wave to come, and then, you know, that gets shut down to come with another. I get what you're saying.
And because that's what we kind of did the last time. When we went to Washington and didn't leave, we came with some concerns. We was like, these motherfuckers ain't treating us right. And they was like, here we got a job as a page here. And here they, and when they got through filtering us on the lowest, you know, level into the system, because we didn't leave. Like, when we went to Washington with King, we didn't all leave. We just kind of sat there and looked around like, what y'all doing? And got jobs and all that other stuff. So they're not prepared for another wave like that, a wave that don't leave. This would be a united wave of poor people. This ain't just black people. This would be, if you sitting on somebody's corner right now with a blanket, here, come on, get on the bus. We're going to drop you off at the mall in front of the Capitol building.
Be careful with that. be careful about that, because that's what got King killed. You know, King started talking about uniting poor people, and that's what got his ass killed. That's what got him killed. He was fine as long as he was talking about niggas.
It's literally the only way. Give me another way. Give me another way other than the poor people, poor workers. Because,
right.
I when I became a worker, when that finally let me in, I understand now the power. When you don't have a job, or and you are on what they with GOP call entitlement, or you on you on government assistance, you really feel like you can't say shit because they already giving you your $730 worth of food stamps. You got a Section 8 house. They gave you a Medicaid card, and they sent your children to school with the Pell Grant. You understand? It's hard for you to feel like you're not getting nothing from the government. But when you a worker and they taxing that check like that, and you working like this every day, and you still can't get you a two-bedroom, a three-bedroom, one-and-a-half apartment in your city with your wages, that's cruel.
So I'm thinking,
hold up, let me step back.
Do you think that, because there's been a lot of layoffs here, a lot of announcements of layoffs, Target just lowered its expectations for the season, Walmart actually increased its expectations for the season, and the reason Walmart did that, in my opinion, and I agree with the author of the article that I read, is because of the food sales. You know, Walmart was very strategic and very smart. So now when they get your ass in, they got you. So now you can go to Walmart. You can do your whole house. I mean, literally, you can do your whole house at Walmart now. You can get groceries. You get a trash can. You can get a garbage disposal. You can get a television. You can get clothing. You can buy furniture. Pay attention to Walmart's furniture section. It used to be this one little thing, you know what I'm saying, a couple items on. Notice how Walmart's furniture section
is
actually becoming a section.
Walmart and Lowe's is a conglomerate, okay? So not only can you get that, you can get the TV, the stove, the shelf. You can get the house from Walmart. Lowe's and Walmart is the same place.
I'm not familiar with that. You hit me over the head.
Yeah, Lowe's. You ever heard of them? Lowe's is the hardware. It's the hardware
Home
conglomerate
Depot?
For Walmart. It's the Home Depot of Walmart. So
okay.
You can buy
everything
you have ever needed in life, minus a car. You can build your house from Walmart.
Okay.
He's not playing. Sam Walton was real. He was not playing, and that is why I don't care how much we fluctuate with billions. The top four is always one of them Bentons.
Not to step on your commentary, but are you sure Walmart and Lowe's are the same company?
I'm telling
you, sure?
Okay. Well, one of the things you can pay attention to is location, location, location. If you see a large super Walmart, you are not going to have to go more than a half mile before you find the Lowe's. Usually when they purchase real estate, they purchase a block right next to each other so that you can
one. Okay.
Well, no, I'm
okay.
telling you, they are.
I want to caution you on that because from what I understand, they're not. That's why I said I don't want to step on your commentary, but they may very well be in cahoots with one another. That makes sense. But I wouldn't go as far as saying that they are one of the same. But that's neither here nor there. We can move on from that. But I'm telling you, just pay attention to how wise Walmart has been with the growth of their business. So they got the delivery service now. So now they're taking on Amazon with that. Obviously, they had the pharmaceuticals. They've gone, we talked about this before, they've gone into finance. That's why in most of, well, not most, a lot of locations, you have the Woodforest Bank. That is a piece of Walmart. They have a stake in that, I should say. So you get tires for your car. You can get a battery. I mean, you can do almost anything and everything you want / need to do on one Walmart bag on trip. They were so smart in that. Target didn't do the same. Target hasn't refreshed a lot of their stores. You got to really go to a super Target in order for it to have a really decent grocery section where, again, most Walmarts have a grocery section. The vast majority of them have a grocery
section. You're looking at two different demographically. You're looking at two
different demographics. Target and Walmart, absolutely.
Walmart is for agricultural families, rural families that come into town. Walmart is like a general store. Or what did you say? Families that,
The imagery that I have, you talk about agricultural families, like my pod kettle on the phone. Come on, bro. Put on your Sunday best. Sunday
well, you have
go.
To talk. You've
we
lived in quite
Walmart.
A bit of Missouri. You know Missouri is a – it's more crop than pop, you know. It's more crops
right,
than
cement.
There is anything. So these people live in extremely isolated places, and so they
right.
don't get, you know, the, they don't they can't – they have to go to Walmart once a week. And when they got the Wi-Fi, but it's kind of like satellite. But it's weird out there in rural America. So Walmart is for them. Walmart and Sam's Club and Costco and stuff like that is for them rural families that got to come in from the hills and the valleys of America.
Whoa!
Buy their stuff.
Back off! Not Costco. Do not talk about my beloved Costco.
The average inner-city apartment cannot find space for 1,000 rolls of toilet paper. You would have to sit on 1,000 rolls of toilet paper like a couch in a New York apartment. It's got to be for those outliers out there without that space.
Can I tell you something? So I moved... what was it, Rashi? It's been over a year now. I still got the same pack paper towels and toilet paper I bought from Costco when I moved into it. The same pack.
And see, now that's cool because, see, we about to hit the rest of the pandemic and you ain't going to want to be scrounging for that. We got
right. So I'm
going to
get another one.
And guess what? Your girl has been captured again. I'm at home the last week with the influenza A
virus.
You got
COVID?
You know? Not COVID.
You got COVID?
Okay, because I told them it was COVID. They said this ain't COVID. Then I said, I got RSV. She said, no, you don't. You have influenza A.
Oh, Lord. What the hell is that?
The flu.
That's the new flu? That's the new flu?
It's the old flu. There's two of them, A and B. And they got a new pack for you where they test you for all four. So when you go to the doctor now, listeners, to get tested, don't let them test you for one. Ask for the four pack because you could be comorbid, meaning you could have corona and the influenza, or you could have RSV and corona, or you could have influenza A and B, but you wouldn't know until you got that four pack scan.
So Rodney's going to come on a little later, right? Rodney says that he's been sick for a little over a week or whatever, and he doesn't have COVID. He doesn't have SARS. I think he, too, has the flu, and it's really, really, really been kicking his butt. I don't want to go too far because I want to go back just a little bit when you were talking about being employed or not being employed and getting governmental assistance. And I started down the road of all the layoffs that we've been told about over the past week or so. I said this some years ago, and I was really just talking trash. I really was. Though I did see it potentially happening, I thought the likelihood would be very, very minimum. now I'm looking at it saying, I think the potential is a hell of a lot higher than I thought it would be. I'm getting to my point. As a trustee, one of the things that you find out in Star Trek is there's no money, right? I think we're moving to that system. I really do, and I think it's going to happen a hell of a lot sooner than I thought it was going to happen. I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime, but now I'm starting to think that our grandchildren will be a part of that lifestyle. And I say that because this is another thing that I've been telling you all about for years. Please pay attention to what the hell we talk about. There is truly a war on work. And when I say work, I'm not talking about work as far as people going out to laboring, because there's still a need for labor. But there's a war on the worker. And when you have FedEx laying off thousands of people, when you have Amazon laying off thousands of people, now you could say, well, that's on the tech side, and, you know, they really ramped up during the pandemic, and there was fear about the pandemic coming back, so they really didn't lay those people off. So this is more right shipping than anything. Yeah, bullshit. Then you have Carvana laying off thousands of people. And then you have one of the IT startups, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. I apologize, I did not jot that down. They're laying off people as well. A friend of mine worked in the mortgage industry. Her company laid her off. That's happening right, left, and right. Yo, it's crazy out here right now. It really is crazy out here right now. You know, this is reminiscent of 2020 pandemic when folks furloughed a whole lot of people. I'm talking to my man at FedEx just yesterday. I'm like, yo, what's going on? Yo, you going to get hit? He's like, nah, I ain't going to get hit. So what's going to happen is they're going to do it like they did during the pandemic. They told everybody they're going to lay some folks. They're going to furlough some folks. What they're going to do, though, is pay them a couple hundred dollars a week for like 8 weeks or some shit like that. And on top of that, they're still able to get their unemployment. So relatively speaking, they should be flat. You know what I'm saying? Some cats are going to earn a couple of coins. Other cats will just be flat. Very few people will be under what they were making, right? Okay. Now, and they're going to do that for like 90 days, and they'll bring everybody back. What is this, December, January? So March, April, something like that, right? I was like, oh, word, that's the man. He said, yeah, but it's the same strategy they used before, and it worked because, you know, most of the vast majority of the people didn't leave. They just waited. They got the call to come back. They came back, and they kept it moving. Like, oh, that's what's up. So then I'm talking to another one of my mans in there, and we're talking about a potential that he has with the company. And he was like, he asked them specifically about how they handled the pandemic. And they told him that they paid everybody for like 12 weeks. They paid them their regular pay for 12 weeks during the pandemic. And then after that, they cut them loose, and then they could collect unemployment. It's like, yo, that's gangster. You know what I'm saying? You talking about 3 months, you still getting your full pay? You ain't got to go to work? Y'all fools with that. You know what I'm saying? So you're right, Lil Rashi. You're talking about the trifecta that's going on right now. So you have COVID on the rise again. You have SARS happening. And then you have the flu. All these things happening at one time. Like, you know, I feel bad.
But that's just in America. That's just in America. How about the Ebola outbreak in Ghana, okay? And because, see, I don't trust other nations' ability to contain their viruses anymore. I'm now to where if y'all either intentionally spreading it or y'all so incompetent y'all can't contain it, because there's no reason why we should be still having zero pandemic-related behavior, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know you can't shut all border down. I mean, I got it. But there got to be something. We can't just keep going round and round like this. It's crazy. What year is this? We started in 2019.
Well, the pandemic officially was called in 2020. So it's,
no,
really
it's COVID
only been
19.
I understand that, but it was officially called in 2020. I was in Atlanta February of 2020, about to go see my sister perform in Porgy and Bess, and the show got canceled because of COVID. That was like the official calling of COVID, because I was in Antigua, I want to say February of 2020, and there were no protocols whatsoever with respect to COVID at that time. I got back. I was home for a couple weeks, hopped another bird, went to Atlanta to go see my sister perform, and that's when it got real. It really got real. That's when, you know, news reports were coming hot and heavy about gun sales and ammo sales being off the hook. Events started getting canceled right and left and right. The mask mandate came along. So it officially got called in 2020. There were folks dying in 2019. Rodney is always quick to point to, I think it's CES conference. I think that's the name of it. That happens in Vegas every year. And a lot of people were getting sick from that, he was saying. And, you know, people just didn't know what it was. So the local name was the CES bug or whatever. And then, you know, tracing back, it was like, well, hell, a lot of those people came from Asia to here. So, hell, they could have been bringing corona with them during this thing. And that could have very well been corona. And there were cases when, you know, folks look back, I think as early as September of 2019, where, you know, now looking back at it, oh, that was COVID. That wasn't actually this, that, and the third. But it really didn't get called until 2020. I remember that clearly.
Well, I remember falling to the shit in the winter of 2019, and I almost gave up the ghost on my daughter's couch. I literally took a shower and put on some clean clothes so when the ambulance came, you know, to come get me, they, you know, musty ass, you know, sweaty. So I took the shower and I sat in there and I sat in that hot water about 37 minutes. I said, well, baby, this has been a good run now. It ain't like you ain't did. They all here. Your babies is right here. Your son is right here. Your daughter's right here. Just take your shower, get yourself, pat yourself with some perfume and call them in, kiss them and tell them, I don't know what the fuck this is, but y'all take care and be safe. And I just laid there and I thought when I woke up the next morning, I was like, I'll be damned.
Did you say you took a shower and put on clean drawers and a bra?
Well, I'm hyper aware of my body. Like, I am, hey, you know how you are your body? That's not how.
Right.
I'm like inside of my body. It's hard to explain.
Okay.
So when I tell you I've been pants, if I see a bump, it just sends my body, send me back like a, hey, you this, you that, you sweaty, you this. I didn't get a lot of signals. Now my body was like, alert. It said, you can't breathe, you can't eat, your stomach hurts, your chest tight, your head swimming. You understand, you tasting pennies, you can't eat. You understand? This is it. What? I ain't never been that close to give it. I was like, oh, I was so cold. I was so hot. I was so wet, and my throat was so dry, and my nose was so wet. I mean, I had pink eye. I had, you know, diarrhea. It was the stupidest shit I had seen in my life all at once. So I said, oh, well, you know, it ain't like, you know, so come on, get yourself together and get dressed, and, you know, so that it don't surprise nobody. Because I figured whatever it was, it's not, they don't cure disease like you think, you know. In movies, they cure disease in an hour. They find somebody who has the antibodies, and they create this fake-ass piece, you know, drug that saves the majority of the people in time, right? No, sir, not for real. In fact, the drug that we are taking, that they just start pumping into the babies, by the way. They got full clearance to put the Corona Man into the babies. And, some of them are having heart-related issues. A lot of people are having heart-related issues to the vaccine, Lee. I got two coworkers who have to go in and out at a hospital now because one of them is on dialysis and she took the vaccine and it fucked with her. And the other dude had got a pacemaker. When he took the vaccine, it messed with his pacemaker and stuff.
Wow.
That's what I said.
Wow.
Listen, he said he ain't never been as sick as how he got after he took that vaccine and they had to readjust and stuff. Yeah, they had to readjust him. He's still having, like, I think they call it angina or whatever in relation to the thing. So, but we got to do something because they're not going away. I mean, we stopped talking about monkeypox, but the cases are still there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I go to New York now.
We always talking about this highfalutin shit. We done talking about AIDS. It's still popping. We done talking about Neisseria-resistant gonorrhea. It's still out there. And don't forget our three friends, herpes, A, B, and C, you know? I mean, hepatitis A, B, and C, and herpes A, herpes 1 and 2, you know?
Even more basic than that, hypertension and high cholesterol. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, the diabetes. We don't worry about that,
right.
AIDS. Baby, you're going to
die of
diabetes. Diabetes.
And high cholesterol. You know, you eating all that daggone fried food all the daggone time. And everything you drink got cola on the end of it. You know what I'm saying? what you doing? You know, you just jump off a bridge, it'll be faster. You know?
Hey, let me tell you how I know
we
don't care.
God knows how long.
The disdain, the hatred we have for those who eat right. Like, when you start like, yeah, I eat right now, I'm like, I got a vegetarian friend. I'm like, I'll try to eat some of that stuff, whatever. The hatred we have for those who don't eat, you know, trash, who can discern and say, ooh, you know what? I'm not going to be able to eat
that. Why you eating that
grass? But that's trash.
Why you eating that grass?
And then you're like,
why you eating that grass?
I can't sustain myself on them goddamn bulgur wheat, because I can't sustain myself on that. And they're like, yeah, you can. You just won't. You won't, you know. So when we start talking about the removal of money, hopefully that comes with a come to Jesus moment with the people who poison us every day, you know. I really want us to turn to KFC and say, what the fuck y'all doing in there? What is y'all doing, Taco Bell? What is that? McDonald's? What is that? What is that? Well, we know what Wingstop is. I'm finna give me some of that later on today. You can't never confuse a black person. You can't never confuse a nigga with what a chicken is, okay? We know chicken. We know chicken. But I'm talking about those patties. We don't know what's in a McDonald's patty. Can you guarantee me you know what's in a McDonald's patty?
Absolutely not.
Or the bread. We don't even know what's in the sugar. We don't know what's in those sauce condiments packets. So, you know, we got
Slow down. Because I was at Chick-fil-A the other day and I had some of that Polynesian sauce, and that Polynesian sauce is just crack. You dip your fries in that Polynesian sauce, oh, my cookity-muggity.
We don't know. We don't know what's in a Popeye's.
Have you
honey mustard sauce. We don't know what that is, but you're going
to
love that.
Did you go to the movie yet?
I have influenza A virus, and I was told to go and quarantine and isolate into my room and not to cough this Viron on the back of some poor person's neck.
You need a bootleg man or something. Like, you just,
do you know?
Whole...
Do you know that bastard is talking about the newer the movie, the more it costs. He don't even have no blanket feet no more. And don't nobody have them. I cast, baby. I'm done. I done joined the 21st century. If I can't cast it, I don't bother with it. I can't deal with that stuff piled up. It piled up. That stuff piled up, and then you have to buy the book to put that, or else the scratching and all that. So I can't do it. I have officially joined the babies. If it cannot be streamed, it is not real. Put it on a stream. Put digitize it, baby, so I can watch it.
But think about this. I think we talked about this last show. You know, here in Baltimore, we're having a problem with the squeezy kids, right? And one of the problems that, well, no, actually, you said this. You talked about the weed man going out of business because the state is taking over that business.
Yeah, he
took
Tyrone's job.
So now, not only do you have that, but the hustle man is pretty much gone now. You know what I'm saying? Because Joker's cracking down so heavily on these copyright infringement laws, you ain't got a lot of hustle mans out there no more. And additionally, like you said, if you can't stream it, it ain't real. Well, hustle man ain't got no streaming joint he can give you. Hustle man used to come through with the daggone physical thing that you had to then.
It's tangible.
Do something with.
That's right.
Get. Right. You know what I'm saying? So technology is knocking out the hustle man. So again, where do these people go to get their money? And that's why I go back to, I know we're going back and forth, is the day of the state providing everything coming sooner rather than later? The USDA just approved lab-made food. They just gave the green light to lab-made food. That's not a good look.
I ain't trying to be funny. That's a little late. But they're more specifically talking about that meat, that protein-based congealed meat, like meat-like substance, that they're trying to decide whether or not to call it meat or not, because that'll decide whether or not the halal people can eat it or not. And the Muslim population is a major, major part of, you know, if we want to be able to eat it and it, call it kosher and whatnot.
Right.
So a whole bunch is going down with what's being put in our mouth. However, Lee, by the time they tell you about the clone sheep, it's six of them. You hear me? By the time they explain to you about the impossible meat, we've already got it at Burger King. By the time they tell you about this new substance that they already added into the thing to see if you're going to get cancer from it or not, they slid it on you, right, and let you buy it and then decide if you like it or not. They gave it to you at Costco, Lee. He had it in
a
little plastic container as you ate six of.
It was a sample.
It was a sample. And you gave him your opinion on how much you like that impossible meat. And so it's too late. They've already made it. They gave it to you. You tasted it. You liked it. It was kind of salty. The texture was weird, but you'll eat it, right?
Kind of salty.
We late.
Yo, that was my mind went a totally different way when you said that.
Don't start with your pervert ass.
Texture was
I can't stand a pervert. Anyway, what I'm trying to explain to you is I need people to know. It's not a conspiracy theory. They come up with shit all the time. We got some, you know, technology from the 1920s we still developing, right? So it ain't the population, not the poor people though. It ain't a lot they practice with poor people on. That's the one thing I do appreciate. They don't come and fuck with us till this vaccine time and. You know, they practice on people who can afford to participate. How do you feel about virtual reality? Virtual reality is not a poor man's field, right? If you got something where you can alter your reality, that's because you got the money to plug some shit in and put it on your head and find a whole new way of, you know. But that is also another government program, mind control. You understand? It's another program, but we pay for it, and we love it. It's called VR. It's cool, right? But coding embedded in what we see is easier to manipulate than actual reality. So we just have to be careful, Lee. That's all. And I hate to sound like I've been, you know, smoking fire weed or something out here or doing shrooms. I'm just saying, I guess it's because I'm infected with these people's shit that I'm like, what are y'all doing out here? Why is everybody getting so, why can't we just live like I did in the 80s and 90s, I don't remember being afraid of being sick every other week. And it just seems so severe right now. Or is it just me being hypersensitive?
No, it's a definitely a difference in severity, but it's also a hyper sense of what's going on in the world. Again, as we've said, because we have a never-ending news cycle. So, and we have these mobile communication devices in our pockets, so we can't escape the news, even for a moment. You know, I don't know about you, but my phone dings, and I'm looking at my phone like, okay, what's going on? What's happening? And it's like, oh, damn, boom. So I'm almost never out of sync with huge news events. Now, I may be out of sync with, you know, news events that are newsworthy, but just not as popular or directly impactful to my daily life. But I'm almost never not in sync with huge news events because phone goes off. It's at the phone. Every time I launch a browser, mine are set to the news. So news first, then as it scrolls, it's sports next. So, I don't think it's a situation of you being hypersensitive. I just think it's a situation of that information is constantly flowing 24/7, 365. And if you choose not to unplug, you don't really have to because it will be delivered to you 24/7, 365. You know, again, be it your cell phone, be it you log on to whatever device you're logging on to and you launch internet browser, be it Safari, be it Lenovo or Windows, doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like it's going to be.
Man,
right
I got a
coworker
using Bing. I almost called the principal on him. I looked up at his search engine was Bing. Don't nobody use Bing. Oh. Man, turn that shit off. Anyway, I was like, why are you not on Chrome? What's wrong with you? You got a whole. Why are you not on? But you think the Bing can only pull up 4chan, OAN. Bing only pulls up Trump's people. It don't give you an actual search, okay? Bing is 100% owned by the Proud Boys or something. I don't know. Why are you doing this? So one of the things I wanted to tell you is, did you see that video I sent about the lady criticizing Stacey Abrams?
I did not watch that one, sis. I'm sorry. I was
caught
up in this.
I want to segue into this whole Voting 2022 segment we were going to do because she was so critical of Stacey on such serious point of views that I had to post it to you. Our girl Stacey lost, right? She was unable to sway Georgia to do what, and they said it was because of her. They said she came on antiquated, non-important, like she just straight up screwed the pooch and that they sat there because she didn't do what they told her to do. And that was the first time I had ever heard a black woman. I have never in my life heard a pundit, what do they call them people who vote for you, constituent, complain about an elected official that way. You know, it's usually after, right? We told you our concerns were blah, 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 and after 3 years or 4 years, you didn't address them. They got on Stacey premeditatively because they said her campaigning format did not align to their issues. You understand?
Did I not speak on this last week? My sources told me that Stacey's issue was she did not reach the average Georgian. She came out this cycle with a belief. At least it looked publicly. She came out this cycle with the belief that her grassroots work was already established. So why should she have to really go out and do that work again. She focused more on big money, big event donors than on rural, suburban, everyday folk issues. She was not at the county fair. She was not at the spelling bee. She was not at the PTA. She was not at whatever. She just didn't do it. She didn't reach to the everyday Georgian, and the everyday Georgian said, okay, well, you don't want my vote. I'll stay my ass in the house. While the other side was highly motivated because they don't want this black woman to take over, and they came out no matter what. So that was her problem. That's what my sources told me. My sources were like, yo, she came out the gate like she got this. You know what I'm saying? So she going to rub elbows.
Do you know how many people
gonna rub elbows
in the chair with the expectation in the future of them accomplishing those tasks that we set for them? We want kind of housing.
I'm not dismissive of that, Rashi, but how many of those people sat in the chair that was already laid for them? Stacey's trying to sit in the chair that's never been laid for her in a place that was never intended for her to sit at that chair. So how do you take for granted that opportunity when it's presented to you? Because she was the chosen one, to be real. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows
the same
that
way.
Boy stole everybody knows that boy stole the election from her in the first quarter. Everybody knows that. So here you go, say, okay, I'm not going to allow you to do that in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to be in every precinct in this state at least once. Hell, I may come 2-3 times because I'm not going to let money via the cost of fuel prevent me from getting your vote. I want you to understand and connect with me on the most basic level. I am real. I am here. I am human, and I am ready to listen to your concerns. And she did not do that. She played this thing at an altitude that was way above the average Georgian, and for that, she lost.
I guess I'm thinking about that time when we were joking about the dead man who won. The GOP is prepared to vote for dead people, and we're not prepared to vote for those who we know. Stacey Abrams has our agenda on her mind. Whether or not she's approaching it the way we like it or not, that does not overshadow the fact that her overall agenda is pro-SBA, foundational black Americans understanding their position in this country and being able to seat ourselves in places of power. She got our agenda, and we failed her because what? She wouldn't got the money it takes to keep her fucking affiliation and campaign together. I'm frustrated with it.
But now, here you go. Here you go. Stop. Back off. Because that was not the case. What wasn't the case was black folks actually showed up, male and female. What she did not get were those low-income to college-educated white folks to show up. She didn't get them because, again, she didn't connect with the average Georgian in a way that they saw was representative of their needs. So they sat on their hands because turnout was low. Relatively speaking, it was low. They sat on their hands like, well, you don't want my vote. I won't give my vote to him, not understanding that if they didn't vote for her and didn't vote for him, they, in essence and in effect, were voting for him. They didn't get that part.
Because the other side was definitely going to show up.
Absolutely. And that was my point. That's the point I made earlier. No matter what, that other side was highly motivated because they didn't want this black woman to take over. Period. So they were coming out. Even if it was only 17% of the vote, if that 17% was out and present in full effect and 100% of that 17% showed up, and her 9% or 11% or 13% showed up and she got 95 to 100% of that, doesn't matter. That 13% at 95, or even if it was 100, does not overshadow nor overcompensate that 17% that's at 100. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay. You asked me about Wakanda Forever. Did you see Herschel Walker?
Yes, I did. Which time?
The last one with the werewolves killing the vampires. I mean, the vampire. Wait, is it the vampires that kill werewolves or the werewolves kill vampires? I forgot. I listened, but I didn't listen.
Werewolves kill vampires.
But why can't vampires suck werewolf blood? Okay, never mind. We digressing. Okay, so what happened? What happens when we allow them to put a Herschel Walker out there? If you don't believe in conspiracy theories, but they'll put what's worse, Kanye West or Herschel Walker? Like, I don't know which one is worse. But I watched it. I watched Herschel Walker stand there and allow himself to be used in that way. And this is a using situation, okay? He is not an author of his own fate. I need people to hear that. Like, at some point when you become a man of the people, right? You stop being your own person. And so we so mad because he looked like, because he's embarrassing us, for one, but mostly be mad because he's ineffective and taking up space that could be used by I hate to say it, but maybe a Cory Booker or Jeffries or, I don't know, somebody, even a Clyburn to do better than what he's doing.
Somebody who has an actual thought and good and positive.
Hell, come on, give me
someone who has an actual thought pattern and can think for themselves and put together a sentence.
We don't see the hand, Lee. There's a hand in Herschel Walker's ass right now. You understand? There's a hand all the way up to the elbow in Herschel Walker's ass and the fingers open his mouth and close it, you know? And I would like to have you speak to, like, what. How do you get, because I've never been there. I don't have any influence, Lee. I've never been to where someone wanted to use me in order to push an agenda, right? Have you ever been that close to someone who's 100% a hand in their ass? Can you speak to that? I mean, I don't think people understand what's happening. They mad at Herschel Walker, but they're not angry at all with the hand in his ass. You hear me?
Well, that's because they're upset with him because he's the one that they see. So, and painstakingly can hear as he tries to formulate a sentence and or a thought, and even sometimes a damn word, because it's painful to see him struggle at any and all levels when it comes to his oratory prowess. Now, have I been close to something? Yes. So the former governor of the state, which was who was also the mayor of the city, Martin O'Malley. Martin O'Malley decided to step out of the shadows of the city council of Baltimore and run for mayor. The crowd was extremely full. He had no chance of winning, except for too many black folks had pride, and none of them wanted to battle on him. So what happened, they divvied up the vote, and they divvied up the vote so damn much that him with his, going back to what I said about percentages, him with his solid 8%, it was actually a little more than that, but I'm just throwing out a number. Him with his solid block was able to run straight up the middle with a greater percentage than anybody else. Why? Because everybody else had loyal constituents. They had loyal supporters. And they didn't want to abandon their candidate. So even though such and such got 3%, this person got 5%, and this person got 11%, doesn't matter. If he got 13, it won, which he did. And Baltimore just so happens to be a Democratic city. So he ran through the primary. Again, there were like 6-7 people in the damn race. So the vote was split all kinds of ways, but he had that solid block, and he went right through the middle. He became the nominee. Took on a Republican, had no chance in the city. He won. He won. The other thing to that was he had the blessing of a female black state delegate. She was his trumpeter, bringing him around, saying how he was aware of the issues, how he had promised to do this, that, and the third. And I took one look at that boy, and I said, that motherfucker lying. He lying. So, and the question was asked of me, why you say that? I said, look at him. His body language isn't there. His openness isn't there. Nah, dog, I don't trust him one freaking bit. And what was said to me was, he's going to get it because she is making it so. Now, if he fails, his failure is going to be hung on her. And guess what happened? His failure was hung on her. Now, she was from a extremely connected family, so she was able to maintain, but she was never really able to rebound. Never really able to rebound. So her star was burnt out faster than it should have been because she hitched her wagon to this clown. So I have been in that situation. Not personally, but I've been in that orbit to see something like that happen. And again, you know, this cat is being used as a pawn. He's being used as a pawn.
Who's the hand? Whose hand is in
Donald
there?
Donald Trump.
Really?
Donald Trump.
I thought it was more micromanaging.
No.
I thought it would
be
a lower level technician, like a David Axelrod type dude, but for the GOP, you know?
Donald Trump needs yes men and women. Donald Trump needs yes men and women because Donald Trump knows his ass is guilty as hell. And he needs people that are going to thwart off any legal action that's coming down the pike. So he needs to put people in position that are going to insulate him from the true ramifications of whatever legal decisions are coming out of pipe. That's what he needs. He needs people to delay, dismiss, delay, dismiss. So if you take the House, which they did, and you take the Senate, which they were hoping to, they're not going to, but if you take the House and the Senate, then you're good. No one's going to impeach you anymore. You can then turn around and impeach other people. If he gets reelected to become the 47th president, in America, that's if he gets reelected.
Hey, do you think he got a chance for real?
Absolutely,
you think he got a chance?
Absolutely.
You think he's gonna have another?
He has a chance.
No, come on, bro.
He
okay,
absolutely
look.
Has a chance.
Okay, look. Okay, look. All right, I ain't trying to be funny. Because they are going to say that it wasn't him; it was the pandemic, right? That broke the economy for a little while, right, or got it struggling the way
mm-hmm.
it is. Like, they never attribute mm-hmm. true strife to the person who was making decisions at the time before the strife began and during the
right.
strife. Sometimes they just blame the strife. They don't blame
right.
the decision maker's ability to circumvent or at least plan the best recovery method, right?
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
But here's my question, though, is, like, he didn't do nothing for them. I mean, like, he did a lot for people who got really big caches of money that they're finna die and they want to hand down to like 3 or 4 children.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not do much other than, you know, relieving emergency funds that we eventually had to kind of compensate for. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's going to be another white man. It's not like we got to vote for the white man. It'll be a battle mm-hmm. of white men. Why would mm-hmm. you keep messing with somebody who didn't give you what you what they said they not what you said you wanted? I understand when people can't give you what you said you wanted, but they when they don't give you what they said they was going to give you, when they don't do for you what they said they were going to do for you, why would you double down? Why would you go back and double down on somebody who didn't give you any
hatred.
Like right, they didn't,
because
these people are, they're part of that entitlement crew. These people are getting old. They're going to need their Social Security they paid into. And they're trying to kill the payroll tax, and the payroll tax is going to kill Social Security. So what, these people are doing their best to
it's hatred.
Have you die without medical insurance, you know what I'm saying? And even if you have insurance, you don't get access to the same medical procedures at the time period that they do. Like, why mm-hmm. are you busting your... I really want to know. It's abuse. It's domestic. It's Stockholm syndrome, where you really love your abuser so bad that you can't fathom a reality without the abuse. Or, because they just knocked down my student loan thing. I'm so mad I filed all them papers, Lee. I filed all them papers just for them to say, hold up. We fighting with some legislative shit on it. Why would you make me fill out documents and then tell me no? I think that's where my paperwork go, Lee.
Do you want me to answer that
These are the cascading things that are happening to the average poor American, and they're asking you to sign on for people who say they care about you. And then you get in there, you say, yeah, they care, and you fill out the documents, and you go vote, and all that stuff you tell me to do, right, Lee? And then you don't get nothing on the end. All you get on the end is less of your income tax return back. Because we're getting less this year, by the way.
Again, do you want me to answer the same question for the fifth time? Because my answer is still the same. It's hatred. They vote for those folks because they hate what the other side represents. So they hold their nose and vote for folks who haven't done anything to them. Plus, it's a better advertising budget. You know, and I've said this for years, especially about the Democrats. You know, Democrats to me are like Libras. They try to make every damn body happy. Republicans are like Leos. Or Virgos. They don't give a shit. They're like, yo, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And if three of us have to fall in order to get it done, then that's what's going to happen. We'll give you fellowships here or put you on a board there or hire you as a governmental worker here, boom. But, yeah, it's okay. We'll take care of you. But we need your vote. Today we need your vote. Tomorrow we'll take care of you because you're going to lose your seat. That's okay. We got you. We need that vote. You going to vote with us or what? Yep. Okay, cool. And we'll move on. That's what they do.
Democrats are you paying to Wes Moore? Do you pay any attention to Wes Moore?
I said that earlier. He's the governor of my state now. So there have been calls to him to run for president already. I'm like, whoa, slow down, dog. He ain't done nothing as a governor yet. Like, let's get that cracking first before we go on to the next one.
All right, so your girl, they beat her husband in the head, and she sat it on down. They told her, if you re-enlist one more time, we're going to beat this motherfucker to death. And she finally believed
it. Well, she told her that. She didn't quit. She stepped down
He came in and he said, tell that bitch I said, sign that paper again, and I'm coming back.
Now, I said, and Rodney and I had this conversation. I was hoping he was going to be on by now. Rodney and I had this conversation. I said, I think the best thing for her to do, and this was even before the attack. Well, that's not true. This was after the attack, but before she made her official announcement. I thought the best thing for her to do was to step off from being the speaker and from a leadership role, because I think the greatest thing for her to do at this point is to really train the young folks on what to do and how to do. And I don't think she could do that being speaker. You know, being speaker requires a lot of her time, attention, and duties. I don't think she could do all of that and not let anything slip. And prepare the party, and prepare the party, too, for the future. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's very important for her, in my opinion, it's very important for her to become the king and or queen maker, to sit back, teach these young folks how to get the votes when they need to get the votes, teach these young folks how to get the money, how to go out here and fundraise, you know, start turning her donors over to other people, because in all actuality, this really should be her last hurrah, period. Be it she, you know, she became the speaker again or not, this should be her last hurrah. She's old, man. It's time for her to.
Oh, man, don't start that shit. We start talking old, we'll clear that whole damn system out. If we're talking old, we're going to go all the way to the top talking old. We'll clear it out from the top seat.
I don't disagree with that. Biden, I don't think Biden should run again. You know what I'm saying? However, I would much rather him run again and win than to have Trump run again and win. Much rather that. I don't know who Trump running mate is going to be, because we all know it ain't going to be Mike Pence.
It's Carrie Lake. It's Carrie Lake. He's going to get Carrie Lake. Because she blackish, she attractive, she's got that paling ass with a little bit more titty, she's kind of a little bit more serious. If I was him, I'd snag Carrie Lake and let's do this. You say you like black women, let's do it, because she clearly ain't white. I don't care who you are, if you're looking at Carrie Lake and you see a white lady, you ain't looking. That lady got tipped on. Somebody in her ancestry was playing around with them servants. So what you do is you attach yourself to a benign, you know, something a little sparkly, shiny, the way he did last time. That's what Pence is. He's sparkly, shiny. He Christian shiny. And when you in a Christian shine is bright as hell. You know what I'm saying? When you got Christian flex, I think that was the smoothest move he ever made, by the way. If you really want to know where he flexed his, well, that is ODT. He, when he aligned himself with a dude who he know he don't care nothing about Christian values at all, but he got himself a Robin who is respected in that faith, that was so many votes just on the Christian agenda. That was the kicker right there, because Christians know Donald Trump ain't no Christian. Okay, so the believers knew, but they said, well, there's somebody there. Look at him. He got him a John the Baptist on his side that's gonna stop him from making these stuff ass decisions. But it just didn't happen. So who's his new? Who's going to be his new? He's got to keep it right now. He went for the Christians last time, right? And we didn't already he got some Kanye West damage going on. He said, I need to give me somebody black. But I don't want him dark like Ben Carson. That's too black.
Uncle Ben!
And he talked to Condoleezza. She said, get the fuck away from me before I slice your throat open. He was like, who I'm going to get? And it's that mixed breed lady, Carrie Lake, mark my words.
I could see that. I really could. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Counter one woman with another woman. High profile in the party. She was a supporter.
She got Karen a balcony to do Shakespeare off of. She's frilly. She's high, yeah.
She's in the state that he needs to carry or flip. So, yeah, I can see that. That's not a bad choice there, Rashi. That's not a bad choice.
That's how unholy alliances work. You know what I'm saying? They form themselves.
Right.
So,
right.
One of the things I'm looking forward to, though, is just a little bit less turmoil in this political, you know, when all this recount stuff, you know, clear off. Because we done pretty much accepted who won and who lost. But there's some places. Yeah, there's some places that's still fighting, you know, recounting and counting and double counting. Those are them battlegrounds, you know, where they just can't let it go or else they have lost the entire spectrum of that red wave ideology, right? Some of them little counties, they gotta have it.
That thing did. It wasn't no red wave. I mean, if anything, you had the blue crush, to be honest with you, because and not even the broadest, but the narrowest of political terms, this was a victory for the Democrats. Even though they did not maintain the House, it was not a landslide. It was not a crushing blow. I said this, I don't know, on the chat or somewhere on social media. I was like, you know, the losing of the House was an acceptable loss. I mean, in any war, you're going to have wins and losses, and that was an acceptable loss. You didn't lose the Senate. If you had lost the House and the Senate, totally unacceptable.
But I read a post saying with Joe Manchin up there, they got it. With the people in the top like Joe Manchin making the decisions, you can say they got full power because he's not a full Democrat. So, and if he's at the top up there, then what really have we gained was the nature of the post.
Mm. Well, you know, that question will be answered again in very short order, especially after the special election in Georgia. Now, the question would be and will be, will Manchin remain a Democrat or will he flip? And if he flips, then everything is back to, well, actually, if the Democrats run Georgia, it'll be 52-48. Yeah, something like that. So if he flips, it really won't matter because the Democrats will still have the controlling vote through the Vice President of the United States. Now, if by some crazy reason 45 comes back and wins the presidential election, God, please don't let that happen to us again, then, you know, he may flip to give control of the Senate fully to the Republicans. So, I mean, that dude, man, whatever, dog. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what's going to happen in that state if and when he decides to retire. Well, you know what? That's not true. Because the thing about West Virginia, and you know, people understand something. West Virginia is becoming Virginia. And Virginia has a problem called NVA. What is NVA? NVA is Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia is not Virginia. Northern Virginia is Maryland. Northern Virginia is an extension of Maryland. What you have in Northern Virginia are all those federal workers whom work in D.C., Southern Maryland, and or Northern Virginia. That's what you have in Northern Virginia. That's the part of the state that is the bluest part of the state. Now, the issue for Virginia is that area is still growing. It's still growing. More and more and more and more people are moving to Northern Virginia. West Virginia is having the same issue. West Virginia's issue is Eastern Virginia. They have a lot of people that live in West Virginia, first and foremost. But in Eastern Virginia is Northern Virginia / Maryland. So what people are starting to realize is you can get a hell of a lot more for your money if you move to Western Virginia, West Virginia, specifically Charlestown, well, Charleston, all those border cities that are right there on the cusp of Virginia, Maryland, because D.C. doesn't extend that far, or Maryland, right? So what's happening is that area is blowing up. But who's moving there? A lot of Democrats. So the state of West Virginia, again, not highly populated at all, and it's actually changing because a lot of people are moving there whom can't afford to live in D.C. or Northern Virginia, but they can afford a whole hell of a lot if they move to West Virginia. So, you know, the consistency of the vote in West Virginia may very well change and go to a more Democratic normality because of that. Now, Manchin may flip at some point, but the seat may stay highly in play for the Democrats because of the population shifts, to be honest with you. So, you know, West Virginia is very interesting. It's a very interesting state to look at. I don't think I would ever move there because of the rest of the damn state. But, you know, politically, that state could be in play as a true Democratic stronghold sooner rather than later, strictly based off the population growth of the eastern side of the state. Because they have a lot of space to grow there. A lot of space to grow. Again, it's not a lot of people to live in West Virginia. You know what I'm saying? But I would say that the majority of the people that move to West Virginia are moving to the eastern border states of West Virginia.
I can't imagine even living around those I mean, all I can see is people tucked
right.
off in Appalachian hills with the smoke coming
mm-hmm.
out of the rock, and they just boiling fat bags to make candles and all that. I just see them. I see them really. The people I make, I tell them, "Have you been back to West Virginia to see your grandmother and them?" And they get so mad. I tell them, "Oh, have you been back to see your great grandma up in the mountains? Y'all don't go up in there and see them no more." And they're like, "We ain't from there. Them ain't not, you know." If you ever want to make a white person mad, tell them that they got Appalachian lineage. Something about them people, they so autonomous, you know. They mm-hmm. almost barely American for real, because they don't like to participate in government. They don't buy a whole bunch of that shit and cart it up into them hills.
Don't say that.
They are
I have friends in West Virginia.
They like mountain Amish. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You ain't never met them Appalachians?
No. I would say that would be more so the people on the western side of the state, central and western side of the state. But the folks on the eastern side, no. I have friends from West Virginia. My man Starks is from West Virginia. We've been friends, since 94. I've known Starks almost 30 years. That's my man right there. And I know a couple other guys. Steve Harvey was born and raised in West Virginia. I think when he turned 11 or 12, the family moved to Ohio. But Steve Harvey's early years were spent in West Virginia.
All I can think of is John Denver. And Montauk Clampett or somebody like that.
Look, those images of Sean are real. You know, the corn cob pipe and run down clothes and shoes and the whole nine. Yeah, that stuff is 100% real. But again, I was just looking it up too. Like there are one point seven eight three million people that live in West Virginia, and that was that number is from 2021. So a little less than 2 million people in West Virginia. You know what I'm saying? Yo, it's like 2 million people in certain parts of New York City. You know what I'm saying? Like that's nothing. That's nothing. Nothing. That population is nothing. But that's why I said it could very well become a Democratic state just off of the population growth on the eastern side of the state alone. Hence the comparison between it and Virginia. Virginia has the problem of Northern Virginia. Like most Virginians don't consider Northern Virginia a part of Virginia. You know, they consider Northern Virginia, true Virginians, they do not consider Northern Virginia a part of Virginia. They consider Northern Virginia a part of Maryland. It's a Maryland, D.C. suburb. And I'm talking about going all the way down to damn Fredericksburg. And, dog, that's a nice bit into that state. You're talking on 95, hell, that's almost 100 miles into the state when you get down to Fredericksburg. And, you know, again, a lot of Virginians do not consider anything Fredericksburg North to be a part of Virginia. They look at it as being LM, Lower Maryland. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, West Virginia as a case study is very interesting politically. It could go either way. But the question that you raised, which is a very good one, Rashi, is where does Manchin lie now? It's not about later. It's not about the future. It's about now. Where does his allegiances lie now? And I still don't know what games he was playing or what was at foot when he did what he did during the last congressional session. I would love to see what that was all about, to be honest with you, because I'm nosy. And I would love to understand his way of thinking, because I think he blocked a lot of good potential legislation or delayed it to where it didn't have the effect that it would have. Again, Roddy and I were talking the other day, and he was reminding me of how the shovel and pitch jobs are coming online. Well, they won't come online until next year, which really puts Biden in a better position to win, because by the time polling starts and casting the vote starts, these folks who got these shovel and pitch jobs will be sitting back like, hey, you know, say what you want to say, but that dude put me back to work. Say what you want to say, this guy has allowed me to put food on the family's table. Say what you want to say, but boom. So, when we talk about and discuss the entirety of this political sphere, we have to remember that what we see right now ain't it. What we see tomorrow ain't it. 5-10 years from now is whatever it is, what we thought it was today, that's what it really is, and that's what it really was. And that's the mentality that we have to bring when we are in that ballot box and we're voting for people. Like, whom is going to have my best interest in heart, not only just now, but in the long term? And if I think that they have my best interest at heart now and later, then I'm going to give them my support. And my support in the immediate way is to cast my vote for this individual. My support later on may be to send them a check, because, you know, checks help people win their elections. But in this immediate way, I'm going to cast my vote for them. Hopefully they'll get in. And then I can come back with an offer. I'm sorry. Hopefully they can get in and then come back to me offering the things that I asked of them to provide. You know what I'm saying?
100%. Well, I mean, you had one more topic, and I don't know if we're going to get to it, Lee. It's so sad.
Oh, we got you. Writing's on, too. I'm going to bring him up.
I just looked at the post. I looked into the eyes of the picture of the dude, the last shooter, the black
dude. Which one,
dude,
UVA? Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, motivation, saying they was picking on him. He was tired of being bullied.
You know,
on a university level, you know.
I was hoping that Brother Barry was going to be on. He said he was, so I'm pretty sure that he had a business call that came up last minute. He had to deal with that, and that's okay. Because I wanted to ask that question. I wanted to ask the question of, do you think it was a situation in which he was being bullied, or do you think it was something more nefarious? You know, did they find something about him that he didn't want other people to know, or was he just really just being picked on? You know what I'm saying? And I'm leaning more toward they found something out about him that he didn't want people to know. And they could have been jokingly saying that they were going to expose him, and him not knowing how to process that and handle that, he went off the rails. You know what I'm saying? Brother Rodney,
well,
welcome. Good morning.
That is a form of bullying, by the way. Exposing information about you that you don't want exposed, that's bullying.
Good morning, Brother Rodney. How are you?
Good morning, Brother Lee. Good morning, Sister Rashi, and to all the listeners. I hope everyone are well.
How you feeling, brother?
Yeah. Okay.
Rashi sick? You sick? Good Lord.
I am better, but I did go out for like the first time in a while last night. Yesterday to the gathering and the African sort of like a network mixer here with the African diaspora, and stayed way too long at that. And by the time I got home, I was hungry, tried to fix something to eat, but took my meds. And apparently when I was fixing my soup, it exploded in the microwave, and I was under the drugging stupor that I didn't realize it.
Wow.
Didn't take the trash out last night, so got up this morning trying to hide from my daughter and clean out that microwave and dump the trash, because that's my one manly chore around the house. And I didn't do it last night, got busted this morning trying to do both of them. So, you know, other than that, life is good, Lee.
You a mess, man.
Oh, you in trouble. Yeah, he in trouble. Oh, you done did it. I'm going to tell mama.
Well, here's my concern, Mr. Rodney, and it's only because this is from a place of love. I'm afraid you may be burning that candle too bright on both ends. You understand?
I wonder who else said that.
Because I love you. I'm clocking things like your wellness to illness ratio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have personal concerns, Mr. Rodney, that your personal ambitions are burning into your actual internal fire energy, and that you are not leaving yourself any restorative space. And I apologize if I'm talking above my pay grade.
Can I say something? Rodney, what she's saying is your ass is writing checks you can't cash. You're old now. Slow down. Slow down.
Hey, I appreciate the wise words of both of you, Sister Rashi. I appreciate the care in which you said it, and it is heartfelt. And I do take it to heart as well as to mind. I have probably rested more in the last month because I've been sick for about a month, more than I have in a long time. Of course, as I hear both of you talking, it's like listening to my children speak. So I'm sure they will appreciate hearing what you have to say. And I am getting more rest today. I still got to get the elusive van registration taken care of, Smog. And I have a wedding to go to from two people who met at the gathering. And that's at 3 o'clock.
Awesome.
And once that
who
is over, Stephen and Lisa. Lisa is also, she and I, the co-founders of the Front Porch as well. And I believe they met through me. Primarily at the gathering, and they're jumping the broom today, and they're having a more traditional African wedding ceremony. I believe a luminary in Black Thought will be officiating over the ceremony today. Last night, I immersed myself in even more African culture, hanging out with the African diaspora community, and great experience. And yes, Sister Rashi, I did stay out at least 2 hours longer than I should have. But
you bringing
so
the stick with you?
Just know. Well,
the wedding.
I did not bring the speaking stick with me, unfortunately, just because of time constraints and travel requirements. But I did wear a brand new African attire with me to represent. And it was a beautiful experience. And we need more of that because Africans have something to offer us from the cultural standpoint, at least, and we have something to offer them in the American capitalist way, the good part of it anyway. So great experience. But I did want to get to your topic before we are out of time. And again, thank you for your concern. But I remember, and I always tell this story, is that when I was a child, we used to bring our guns to school. And no matter what type of bullying, because bullying didn't start in 2020, no matter what was done, you know, the only time that gun was discharged was probably on your way back home and a squirrel or a deer happened to cross your path and you brought food home. And that was it. And so there's nothing new when it comes to bullying. And so I think that we have to look at, yeah, these things happen. And, yeah, we can talk about whether they discovered something, you know, whatever that was. But it's the way that we respond to things that is where I think the answer lies. And how are we teaching not just our young people but society? From a societal perspective, how are we teaching people to deal with adverse situations? Because if the only way or if what is coming to the fore in dealing with these adverse situations is to somehow physically lash out and usually using a gun is kind of at the top of the pecking order, then as a society we are failing and we need to sort of pause and drop back and say, how did we get from the time of within Rodney's lifetime where you took guns to school and the only thing that had to be fearful of being shot was Bambi or, you know, Thumper, right? How did we go from that to where we are today and what needs to be changed? Because there are things that need to be changed. And if we do not, these things will just continue to proliferate. That's what's happening. So we have to address this. And it's not just, oh, well, we're going to ban assault weapons. Well, does it make a difference whether you get shot with, a .223, a .556, or a shotgun double-op buck? You just
or 9mm.
So,
just
or 22.
Brother, Shaquilla Robinson didn't get shot at all. She just got beat to death, you understand? By who? Her peers. You understand? So you don't need a gun at all in order to make this create this havoc, this malicious havoc among us, you know?
People getting
the
stabbed.
The four students
now.
To Idaho.
Okay, so I'm not able to get a gun.
The four students to Idaho were stabbed to death. Right. Right.
So,
four of them.
So we have to address the root cause of this, and we have to address it in a large way. Sort of helter-skelter, not a Band-Aid type of thing, and then a Band-Aid on top of a Band-Aid as we've been doing it. We have to get to the root cause. Society is sick And if you have a sick society, if you have a confused society, if you have a society that doesn't know where their leaders are and understand leadership principles and followership principles, when you have a society like that, these things begin to metastasize. And yes, they do proliferate because there's nothing to stop its trajectory. We have to do that, or our children's children will have it a heck of a lot worse than we have it even today.
Well, we have to almost all the same.
Go ahead.
This is the one of the first times we were able to actually be pretty comprehensive. Good job, Lee. I mean, we didn't ramble it bad. Our tangents were at a minimum, and we were able to address the things we said were important to talk about. I'm proud of you, Lee. We didn't go on any shoot tangents or nothing. Work it, Lee. Work it.
Nah, sister, that's you. That's you keeping it together. But I was going back to the society being sick. You know. You said there's nothing new about bullying. I disagree with that. I disagree with the premise that there's nothing new about it. The new side of bullying is these children have less of an interaction with one another. So they don't – I think they're having a more difficult time discerning when someone is just jostling with them or someone is really – trying to cause harm to them. And because of that, their initial instinct is, I must protect myself at all costs, no matter what. And if that means hurting you, then I will hurt you first, because I must protect myself. Additionally, I don't think that they've been socialized enough to understand that no one wins them all. Everybody gets beat. Now, that doesn't mean that you get beat up all the time, but if you get into enough fisticuffs, everybody gets beat. You know what I'm saying? Mike Tyson got beat. The only person who didn't get beat was Floyd, and that's because he ducked everybody that could beat him. That's right, I said it. Floyd ducked everybody that could beat him. Floyd waited for everybody that could beat him to get beaten so he could figure out how to beat him, and then he would fight him. He didn't fight cats in their prime. If he had fought Manny in his prime, I still say Manny would have whipped his ass. That's how I feel about it. You know what I'm saying? But Floyd pushed that fight until Manny was beaten and broken, and then he fought Manny. Whatever. But most of us know in the streets, you know, someone's bigger and badder than you. I don't care how big and bad you are. Someone is bigger and badder than you. So eventually, you won't get your butt beat. But that don't mean you got to lose your life. That don't mean you take somebody's life. You got your butt beat. You can come back from that. There's no coming back from death. Absolutely none. And that's why death is not something that you play with. Death is a last resort. Always a last resort. Should always be a last resort. But, you know, these cats are so fearful of taking an L that they are willing to do anything and everything to prevent themselves from taking an L. But that too, I believe, is because they don't know their manhood. They don't know what it is to be a man. And they don't know. And they don't understand that every man is taking an L. Go ahead, Rodney.
Well, I mean, I guess we could go back and forth on whether bullying is changed. I still maintain that it's not. It's not bullying that's changed. It's the other things that you mentioned. It's how people have learned or not learned to cope with adversity, and how society has been very willing to give people an extra long leash during times of abhorrent behavior, which affects, again, how people deal and how they see themselves in overall society and how they should conduct themselves. I was talking to someone last night, and I was telling them that my oldest daughter, I think when she was still in elementary school, she was standing in line, and she was always the tallest in her class and lanky and kind of ungainly. And this boy hit her in her stomach. And hurt my daughter. And I got a phone call. I got a phone call for two reasons. One was because my daughter was in the nurse's office and she had been hit in the stomach and she was complaining and she was crying. The other reason why I got the phone call is because her younger sister bailed on the boy that hit her big sister in the stomach and beat him down. And so they were calling me to come pick up my youngest daughter because she was in trouble. Now, Lee, there was fire in my, I was like the Human Torch. I don't even know whether I ran to the school or drove to the school, but it was like the snap in Avengers. I was at the school.
He teleported.
And so I was upset. One, that my daughter was hit. And when I heard the story and even the other children witnesses said, no, she was just standing in line and so-and-so just came and punched her in the stomach as hard as he could. I was lit, but I'm the father. I was in uniform. I'm trying to maintain my decorum, but that's my daughter who was doing nothing. And not only did this boy, not a girl, but this boy hit her, he hit her in the stomach. And when I came up, if you know, we were taught not to hit a girl, but if you did have to tussle with a girl, you may take a L before you can hit her in the stomach. You do not, I don't know where it came from, but that was the law in the streets back then. You do not fight a girl, and if you have to do it, you don't hit him in the stomach. And
right,
this boy hit my daughter
slap, right?
in the stomach.
You slap her with the open hand. Everybody know that.
Well, this boy apparently didn't get the memo. So then I was pissed off at his parents for not teaching him better.
Right.
And I found out that the father I knew, and he had one stripe more than me, but I was about to go and beat his ass at for not teaching his son better. But let me put it to you straight, though. The next step, when they told me that there was nothing they could do, I was ready to burn the school down. That was what was in my mind. Because you walkie-talkie, that's how we say that MF word back in the South, because we weren't supposed to curse.
Okay.
But you walkie-talkies. And thank God I had the training of my grandmother, my mother, and the love of my family that societal pressure says, no, Sergeant Smith, that's not how you handle this. You need to find out what happened. You need to talk to the parents. And if you feel that you cannot talk to the parents rationally, you need to, you know, get the children's mom to go up there and deal with it so you don't have to beat this dude who outranks you down so you can get court-martialed and get kicked out of the service and not get your retirement and family lose benefits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that did not happen. What I'm saying is those many restraints from society and from family that I had, people don't have today. And those types of constraints have to be, there is a role for discernment and there is a role for discipline in our community. And when you don't do it, you start seeing society break down. And we are witnessing the breakdown of American society and people just randomly offing people because they didn't feel good is a part of the symptom of the breaking down of society.
Any suggestions how we may be able to reel that back in?
You know, Lee, I think we have to look at our parents today are ill-equipped to be parents. Our parents today have pressures that we don't have. And let's think about it. We're richer than possibly maybe we've ever been, but 20% of the average child goes to bed hungry at night, and 25% of African-American children go to bed hungry at night. But we're richer than we've ever been before. A person just bought Twitter for 40-some-odd billion dollars just to almost burn it to the ground, no big deal, because it really didn't impact his lifestyle one bit. and he's probably already made his $44 billion back. So society is, there's a lot of extremes, and extremes typically are not good. And we really have to, you know, somebody says, how did American society last? And I said, because it had democracy. Believe it or not, it had religion, and it had capitalism. And each one of those things kind of kept the others in check. And if ever one's like a three-legged stool, if ever one leg gets too long, it'll cause the whole thing to topple over. And greed, unabashed and unchecked greed, is at play. Mm. My way or the highway is at play. Mm. And yes, as many that dislike religion, religion did keep a check on certain things because there were pressures, societal pressures, based off of religion that were good, because it's not all bad. We cannot throw the so-called baby out with the bathwater. You throw the bad stuff out, get rid of the dirty water and keep the baby and then nurture that baby. And so we have to look at what did work, what isn't working, and then what do we need to work today. And we have to do it in mass. And the African-American community probably is in the best position to do it if we realize we're in the best position to do it and do it.
Okay. Rashi, what were you about to say? I'm sorry.
That I love you even if you don't know no better. Peace.
Mm. Listen to you. Listen, try to be me. Okay, that's what's up. Rodney, any closing words?
Empathy is the word of the day. Empathy. And if you don't know it, look it up. We have to bring empathy back into our consciousness. We have to look at things through the eyes of empathy and see others as we would like to be seen ourselves. And remember parents. What helped parents be better parents was their grandparents. Don't move too far away from those elders who have corporate knowledge that can help you in your endeavors with your what appear to be wayward children. It is not new. It's just new to you.
Mm. Say that one more again. Look, as the fight continues in D.C. with respect to who will and who will not remain in power, obviously there's infighting amongst the Republicans right now as they go about selecting who will be the gavel holder in the House. There's also some no, that's not true. I think McConnell won the minority ships
leader.
I believe he did. Yeah, I think that vote happened the other day. So, but there was some grumbling in the Senate as well. So keep an eye on that. It's going back to what Rodney said, my way or the highway. A lot of people are seemingly in desperate need of getting what they want right here, right now. I wonder why that is. Does that have anything to do with a demographic change coming through? Anyhow, family, thank you all for joining us live. Thank you all for those who are joining us later. As we always say about this time, we love you in advance, and you do about it. Until next week, we'll get it right, we'll get it tight.